Good morning, church. We're so glad to be here with you today on God's special day. We want to talk today about God's special day. Because, you know, one of our biggest dangers of Seventh-day Adventists is becoming a Seventh-day Adventist. Where we only serve God on the seventh day. But you see, it was in God's original plan that a Seventh-day Adventist would merely affirm on the seventh day what he or she has been living for 6 days already. My father was a pastor, a very good pastor. And I still remember many times me sitting in the pew watching my dad preach. My dad was a powerful preacher. I had three brothers, and we would always sit about halfway back in the church. Bless my mother's heart. Imagine managing four boys on Sabbath when your husband's the preacher. And every week, my mother had a little symbol for us. When the male juices got going in these four little boys, we had a very nice little spot right here on the back of our arm. And my mother could hit it with unerring accuracy. And we knew when that squeeze was there, the next spot dropped about 6 inches lower, a little bit to the left. And we would get a firm hand of fellowship right where God intended it to go. And after each sermon, my dad, as he was walking down the aisle, there'd be four little hands reached out in the aisle, and my dad would smack each one as he went by. You see, we knew that Dad loved us. We knew that Dad lived what he preached. We knew that we were number one in Dad's book. My dad also went to a prison every Sabbath afternoon, and he had Bible studies with the prisoners. And I was with my dad. He would take a different one of us each Sabbath with him as he'd go out on his call so that we felt a part of him and a part of his ministry. And he was there one Sabbath afternoon. He was preaching to some of the inmates who were sitting on this side of the room, were not all mentally there. And they were in the part of the jail where people had committed mentally disordered crimes. And my dad stood up one Sabbath and said, "Does anybody know why we're all here today?" And a man in the back said, we're here because we're not all there." And how appropriate that was. But dear friends, as we are gathered here today, do we really know why we're here? Are we simply here because we can't be somewhere else? Because there's a checklist that somebody's checking to make sure we're not sleeping in the dorm? Or because we feel guilty that if we're at home, God might not be able to bless us on Monday at work? You see, we need to come to grips today with what the Sabbath means. The Sabbath is not a day. The Sabbath is a way. The Sabbath is a sign. Well, let's go to our scripture reading for this morning. Exodus chapter 31. I think it's very interesting that the only commandment that says remember is the one that even we are in danger of forgetting. And God saw that, and God, before He sent Moses down off of Mount Sinai, He specifically makes reference to one commandment of the ten. It's almost like He's saying to Moses, "Now Moses, when you get down there, I want you to put special emphasis on this particular commandment because it is the essence of all the ten." Notice what he says, starting in verse 13. "Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily, my Sabbath, whose Sabbath is it, friends? Is this 24-hour period our day? Let me ask you again. I heard a very anemic answer. Is this 24-hour period our day? No, it is God's day. And if it belongs to God, who decides what we do on this day? God does. He says, Say to the children of Israel, Verily my Sabbath shall ye keep. Now notice when he uses Sabbaths plural, now he goes to it is a sign. It is a sign between me and you throughout all your generations that ye may what? Know. What's the sign? The Sabbath is the sign. That we might know what? That I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Now I want you to stop and wrap your brain around what God is saying there. He's saying that this 24-hour period of time is different from every other 24-hour period of time throughout the week. This 24-hour period is a sign. It's a sign of what God not only wants to do in your life, but it is a sign of what He is doing in your life. You see, because 2 Thessalonians chapter 4 tells me that it is the will of God, even your sanctification. Now, what is sanctification? Sanctification, listen now. Sanctification is God taking nothing and making something. That's why God said, Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. You see, those days are different. Those days, in a different way, still belong to God, but they're more mine too. In other words, God doesn't come and tell me everybody has to do a certain thing for 24 hours on those days. You might be a nurse. You might be a doctor. You might be a plumber. You might be a car mechanic. All those things are fine with God, so long as you do your job for God. Because the Bible says, Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it as unto the Lord and not unto men. But this day, this 24-hour period of time, God says, It's mine. You don't call the shots on my day, God says. And it's not a legalistic affair. It is a joyous celebration that God can take nothing and make something. That God can take Dane Griffin, who was dead, worse than dead in trespasses and sins. I was a Seventh-day Catholic. I was a Seventh-day agnostic. I was a Seventh-day Pentecostal. You can say anything you want to, but I was not a Seventh-day Adventist. Smoking 3 packs of cigarettes a day and an elder in my church. Kleptomaniac and a Sabbath school teacher. I couldn't go into a store without stealing something. Had no power. I had worked at the General Conference. I had worked at the Review and Herald. I had worked for It Is Written. I knew the God, I knew the Sabbath of God, but I didn't know the God of the Sabbath. You see, the Sabbath God has set aside to show me every week His power, His mercy, and His ability to change me into something good. Now, can you get excited about a day like that? I'll tell you what. I'm not going to stand up here today and give you ways to make the Sabbath a joy because it's different in every family. It's different in every family. But if I can give you principles of what the Sabbath stands for, if I can give you an insight in what the Sabbath can mean to you, suddenly the Sabbath springs to excitement, Suddenly, your whole goal as a parent will be to show your children every day of the week how exciting Sabbath is. You will plan on Sunday for the next Sabbath. That was my job as a father. When I understood the thrill of the Sabbath, when I understood the power of the Sabbath, when I understood what God wanted to do for me in my life to change me into His image, I said, God, I want my children to know about this day. I want my children to know about this God. I want my wife to experience You more fully. And that's my job as the high priest, to lead my family in the paths of righteousness. And I began to plan on Sunday for Sabbath. I got one amen. I turned down job promotions where my peers said, Dane, you are a fool. You can be one of the regional sales managers for one of the best companies in the world, and you're going to turn it down? You're only 26 years old. You're on a fast track to be the vice president of this company. I said, I don't care. I want my children in heaven.
Amen.
I am starting my career 2 years ago. At 47 years old, I began my career because my first career had ended. My children were grown. That was my first career. And my career was to keep... I was like a male muskox. Have you ever seen male muskox? I mean, they're pretty... Have you seen the muskox up at Camp Asable in the Nature Center with those big horns that come down like this and that big furry coat that hangs on all around them? Have you seen that up there, sister? Have you? Have you seen that one up there? Imagine when a wolf or a mountain lion comes around a muskox tribe, or whatever they call it, a herd, all the males gather looking out, and all the females and all the children are inside the surrounding males. Now, any smart wolf is going to say, nope. Got to move somewhere else. Not worth it to go up against these guys. That's our job.
Amen.
That is our job, to guard the spiritual interests of our families. That's our job, to guard the spiritual interests of the church. Where are the men? You see, when I understood... Well, this is a dangerous pulpit, Mickey, I'll tell you. When I understood what Sabbath meant, that it was God, listen now, it was God saying, Dane Griffin, I want to show you how to be like me. I said, I want that. I want that. Because I want God's presence in my home. I want God's Spirit in my home. I want God's power in my home. You see, Sabbath is not a day that we keep. Sabbath is a way that we walk. Sabbath is a way that we live. Sabbath is a celebration of God's will in my life. That's why Jesus said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. Why does He tell us to remember it? Because in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth. The Lord took nothing. What does Genesis 1 verse 1 say? The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God came. God came as only God could. And the Bible says in Psalm 33 verse 6 to 9, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and the host of them by the breath of His mouth. For He, what? Spake. And it was done. No questions. The earth didn't say, you want me to do what? The earth did it. And you see, if we are as submissive as the earth was, listen to me now. If we are as submissive as the earth was, we will allow God to come to us and speak His will, and it will be done. Do you understand what I'm saying? He will speak His will, and we won't... You know, is it wrong to argue with God? Is it wrong to argue with God? What does Isaiah chapter 1 verse 16 say? It says, come, let us reason together. God doesn't mind an argument, but let me give you the secret of salvation. Here's the secret of salvation. Bottom line, take away all the frills, all the other things. Here is the basic bedrock principle of salvation. If you do this, you'll be saved, I guarantee it. Sound like a good idea? Here's the basic bedrock principle of salvation. Guaranteed salvation if you follow this one point. Argue with God until He wins. Is that simple? Is anybody awake? Is that simple? In a way. But it's tough because our carnal minds want to argue with God. God, why does it matter how I dress? Why does it matter how I eat? Why does it matter what I watch? Lord, it's just a meaningless little game show. The Lord says, Dane, man does not see as God sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the inner workings. God sees what it's doing in our brain. God sees how it's down-revving us. God sees how it's dumbing us down. God sees how it's on-creating us in His righteousness. And it's the will of God that we be created in His righteousness. That's why God said, remember the Sabbath day. Why? Because it is a sign that God can take nothing and make something. Now, isn't that good news? So many times I said, Lord, how can you save me? Look at me, Lord, I'm a mess. I'm a kleptomaniac. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a louse. Lord, what? I'm a passive man. I don't know how to be a father. I don't know how to be a husband. Lord, what can you do with me? Lord says, stand back and let me work. Just step out of the way, Dane. Watch me speak and it will be done. Watch me command and it will what? Stand fast. I am a living testimony of the power of the God of the Sabbath. You would not have want to met me 20 years ago. Hair out to here. I glittered when I walked down the street. I was 6'4" and wore platform shoes. But you see, God comes along. And He says, Dane, if you really want to be a Seventh-day Adventist, let me work in your life. Let me have control of all your time, 6 days a week. And you know, that's one of the principles of the Sabbath. God has set aside a 24-hour period because He knows how undisciplined I am. He knows how my mind naturally wanders on any path it wants to go on. He knows how easily I go out after the world. He knows that. And so God came and said, Dane, I'm going to give you a 24-hour period where you, by my grace and by my power, will learn to discipline your mind to dwell on one thing for 24 hours, to do a certain set of things for 24 hours. And you'll get so excited about the self-mastery that you understand, that you are experiencing for the first time, that you will want to let me control your thoughts 6 days a week. And you know what? It works. Because when we let God do what God wants to do, when we let God control every thought on the Sabbath day, when we let God control every word on the Sabbath day, when we teach our children that this is a special place, we don't run in God's house, we don't stand in pews on God's house, we don't have snowball fights on Sabbath, this is a special day. Suddenly the children are more manageable. Fathers, if we are not leading our family in family worship every day, don't expect them to behave themselves in church. Don't expect them to enjoy the thrill of the Sabbath. You are challenged by God to make your family worships so enthralling, so inspiring, so filled with the Holy Ghost that your children look forward to the Sabbath day. Is it easy? I trembled. I said, Lord, I can't do this. And you know, there are many times that we'd sit at family worship. And I always led out in family worship. I'd always call the family to family worship. And I would open the Bible. We read through the whole Bible together. And, you know, except for the, you know, you can't really read through the book of Numbers with little children, you know. I mean, there's not a whole lot there for them to learn. But you pick the books and you pick the chapters by your own personal devotion time of what your family can get into. And you do it appropriate to their age. And I would ask Anthony, my son, I'd say, Anthony, like we would read Job 31 verse 3, okay? It says, is it not destruction, is not destruction to the wicked and a strange act to the workers of iniquity? Anthony, what do you think that means? Why am I asking him that question? I want to know as a father where he is spiritually. I want to see what his little mind is doing to wrap around these Bible verses. And if he says, Dad, I don't know. So I go to Gina, my daughter. Gina, what do you think it means? And she would say something. Well, honey, I talked to my wife. Vic, what do you think it means? And you know what? Here's true confessions. 9 times out of 10, I didn't know what it meant. And I'm saying, Lord, you've got to give me an answer. You know, praying. Lord, give me an answer. I've got to know the answer to this. And I would stall asking the kids a question. Lord, come on, I need an answer. I don't know what this means. And my wife would say, well, Dane, I don't, and many times in worship they would say, we don't know, Dad, what does it mean? And I want to tell you the power of God. And you want to have excitement in your family worship, do this. Because you feel the power of God like you've never felt it before. The minute I needed the answer, God would put it in my brain. Amen. And I'd say, here's what it means, and open my mouth and God would speak through me. And I'd think, wow, is that what it means? Yeah, that's what it means, kids. Wow, Dad, how did you learn that? Well, you just learn it by Bible study. And you see, Sabbath time is just an extension of your family worship time. You know, we've settled into a really bad habit as Adventists. Can we have a family talk today? Can we have a family talk? We've settled into a bad habit as Adventists. Sabbath becomes a day of reminiscing. So what did you do when you were at Tacoma? You know, my wife, she wasn't raised an Adventist. She was raised a Catholic and became an Adventist later. And when she went with me to our first Adventist potluck, and we all sat, or an Adventist meal at somebody's house, and we all sat around. We didn't understand these principles back then, and we all sat around talking about TA, SVA, PUC, CUC. You know, she says, "What are all these initials in your church mean?" But we all sit around and we reminisce. Now, there's nothing wrong with fellowship on the Sabbath. The Sabbath is a day of fellowship. But friends, the Sabbath is a day to direct my mind toward what God has done for me. It should be a day of praising God, of witnessing for God, of extolling the virtues of God. And in our house, it was a written law that Sabbath afternoon, I didn't care who came to our house, they could join us for our Bible study. But Sabbath was my time with my children to lead them to the kingdom of God. And I'll never forget the day we were driving home from church. We've fallen into another bad habit, you know. Many Adventists are not vegetarians anymore because they eat the pastor on the way home. Warm flesh before they have lunch. But as we were on our way home, Anthony, who was about 12 years old at the time, said, hey, Dad, can I have the Bible study today? I said, sure. What are you going to do? He said, you'll see. So we had a whiteboard we would use for our Sabbath afternoon activity. And Anthony got out the whiteboard. He got out his Bible. And he said, we had some songs together. And then he said, I want to lead you all on a Bible study today of the 2300 days. I thought, oh, this is going to be good. Because I had many, many Bible studies with my children on prophecy, on the sanctuary, on salvation, and all these great themes of the Scriptures. So Anthony got out his whiteboard, And he began to do the 2300 days. He started with 457 BC and he drew the line down and ended up with 1844 and he drew the 1260 and the 1290 and the 1335 and the 72 weeks and the 1 week, the 69 weeks and the 1 week cut off and he had all the, and he gave us a beautiful Bible study. Do you think I was crying by the end of that Bible study? I was praising God. I was praising God that God answers prayer. Friends, we need to get it out of our minds that we can plead with God for the salvation of our children and do nothing about it and expect God to answer our prayer. God says, show me how much you want me to answer your prayer. Let me guide your family. Let me work through you to answer your prayers in your family. Friends, we need to understand all these young people here from GLA. All these young people here from GLA. They are looking at us to see how valuable our religion is, to see if they want to make it their religion. And God forbid that any of these young people should leave because we have made the Sabbath a day and not a way. I left the church. I'll tell you why I left the church. When I was 19 years old, I left the church because I heard two grown-ups in the back laughing and joking and swearing in the back of the church. And I said, I don't need this garbage. I don't need this hypocrisy. You see, kids, young people, they want to be a part of something vibrant. They want to be a part of something that's real. They want something that changes them on the gut level. They want something worth dying for. Many of us today live in the land of the frozen chosen. We're Seventh-day Adventists. Friends, we have the most exciting message ever given to mankind. We have a message that changes lives. We celebrate a God who has given us a day to show us His power, His glory, and His plan. We should be, of all people, the most happy, thrilled, joyous people in the world. When we come to church, it should be a time of sharing with God, sharing with our fellow man, sharing what God has done for us. You see, the Sabbath is God's motivational day. Did you hear what I said? The Sabbath motivates me to live for God the rest of the 6 days of the week. When I come to church and I hear these wonderful stories of what God is doing in His family, I tell you, it's sad that we don't have mission Sabbaths anymore, where we let missionaries stand up and testify what God has done for them. I love going into a church where they line up on 13th Sabbath and have the cradle roll say their memory verses. When they have the kindergarten sing their memory verses. When they have the early teens say something they're doing. You see, this makes us family. This makes us reach out. But friends, we have become fragmented in the church. Each little family coming and worshiping as individual units. No, we come and worship as God's children. We come and worship as God's family. And I'll tell you something, friends. I'll tell you something. This should be a place of safety for all God's people. You should know that if you have a financial problem that you didn't bring on yourself through no fault of your own, something happened and you're in need, you should know that you can come to your family and get help. You should know that nobody in this church is backbiting you. Nothing will kill God's Spirit faster than gossip. God forbid anybody in this family is gossiping about someone else in this family. It's God's motivational day. It's God's change day. That's why God said, remember, it's God's assurance day. Notice 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Verses 3 through 6. Notice what it says. 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6, it says, "Hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought also himself so to walk, even as he walked." You see what John is saying there? Friends, do you know God today? Do you know that God is dwelling in your heart? Do you know it? Now, Ellen White says, "No sanctified lips will ever say I'm saved." And there's a good reason for that. But we should have the assurance in our lives that the God of the Sabbath is here with us today. And how do we have that assurance? I'll tell you how. Because we see God changing us daily. Did you hear that? We should be able to come to this church today and sit in these pews and let our hearts raise to God in joyful celebration for the victories He has given us last week, for the changes He has made in our lives during the last week, for the wonderful ways He has blessed our children in the last week. I praise God when my son called me from Andrews. And he said, "Dad, I'm having Bible studies with one of the guys on the floor." I said, "Praise God!" And he said, "Dad, I got so upset at the Bible study for the heresy these guys believe that I couldn't sleep that night." I said, "Praise God! My son's getting stirred." But friends, how does it happen? It happens when we inculcate the principles of right Sabbath keeping in our children's lives. Let me give you four ways, four things that God wants us to do. Because what does Exodus 31:13 say? Sabbath is a sign that ye may what? That ye may know that I am the Lord that's changing you into my likeness, that's speaking on that deadness of your mind. What does it say in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6? For God, listen to what Paul said, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness." That's the first day of creation, right? "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in your heart to give the light of the knowledge of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Friends, that's the essence of salvation. Sabbath is a sign that God is in the process of changing me. The job ain't done yet. Have you ever wondered why God did just create the world in one day? Couldn't God have said, "Let there be light, let there be sun, moon, and stars, let there be trees, let there be dogs, let there be cats, let there be ants, let there be frogs, let there be Adam, let there be Eve," poof, and it was all there. Couldn't God have done that? Yes. Why did He take 7 days? To teach us that the plan of, listen now, the plan of salvation is not an instantaneous work. It's a daily walk with God. God is getting the imperfections out of our lives. God is getting the flaws out of our hearts. And friends, don't be discouraged when God shows you a flaw. Say, "Praise the Lord." What does it say in the book of James? "Count it all what? Joy, brethren, when you fall into diverse temptations. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith works what? Patience." Patience. Point number one, the Sabbath shows where God rescued us from. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 15. Deuteronomy chapter 5, Moses is getting ready to go to his death. The children of Israel are getting ready to go into the promised land. And Moses says here in Deuteronomy chapter 5, he's recounting the Ten Commandments. Notice what he says. Notice what he says here. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 15. After he quotes the Ten Commandments, the fourth commandment, he says, "And remember, you were a servant in the land of Egypt. The Lord God brought you out through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore," why? Because He's delivered them. "Therefore, the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day." You see, friends, every Sabbath, God reminds me where He rescued me from. I look back and say, "Oh, Lord, I don't want to go back there again. I was a slave. Friends, do you know what slavery is? Do you know how much of a slave you are when you have $500 in your wallet and you got to steal a candy bar? That's slavery. That is abject slavery. And every Sabbath, God says, Dane, look where I've brought you from. Look where I've brought you from. And I tried for 10 years to deliver myself from Egypt. What is Egypt in the Bible? What is Egypt in the Bible? What did Pharaoh say in Exodus chapter 5? When Moses came and said, Moses said, Pharaoh, the Lord says, let my people go. What did Pharaoh say? Who is the Lord that I should obey him? That's Egypt. Friends, when the Lord points out duty to us, no matter how much it cuts against what we want to do, if we say, Lord, why do I have to obey that one? That's Pharaoh. And we have retreated to the land of Egypt. And Sabbath is God reminding me that He has delivered me. You think that makes me happy? Do you think it makes me happy when I can go into a store with no money in my wallet and not steal anything? Oh, that makes me happy. And I praise the God of the Sabbath that He has that power. Amen. To take these gifted hands at doing wrong and taught them to do right. That's power. Amen. He speaks and it's done. That's power. That's why I keep the Sabbath. That's why I love the Sabbath. Because it shows me the power of God and what He's done for me. And that if I leave God, I will go back to the pit again. I'll go back to the pit again. You see, Sabbath shows me those things. Now, when our children are little, what do we do every Friday? What do every Friday? We clean house, right? Push the vacuum, clean the toilets, wash the mirrors. I used to always wonder, God, do you have some problem with dirty houses? Is that why you want our houses clean on Sabbath? Is this a sanitary thing, God? You know what God showed me? God said, no, Dane. But you are so easily forgetful. You forget how sinful sin is that I have given you an object lesson every week to remind you to get sin out of your life. Because in the Jewish household, the mother would go and hide leaven throughout the house. Now, what did leaven represent? Sin. Then the dad and the children would go around and find all the leaven in the house. And when the last bit of leaven had been found, the house was pronounced ready for the Sabbath. So, when my children were little, and they would get the vacuum cleaner out, I'd say, now remember, Gina, you're vacuuming, and what's it going to remind you of? Well, Daddy, it reminds me that Jesus has to sweep all the dirt out of my heart, just like I'm sweeping the dirt out of this house. Anthony, when you're cleaning that toilet, what's it remind you? That God wants to get all the dirtiness out of my life. So that every Friday, they weren't just cleaning the house. They were being reminded, God, you need to clean my heart. I want to be ready for the Sabbath in my heart. Lord, clean me up. Get rid of the sin. Suddenly, cleaning house became a lesson in salvation. Amen. That's what the Sabbath is about. God reminding me how easily I am led after the world. And isn't that a loving God? Isn't that a loving God where He says, Dane, I love you so much, I want to keep you in my fold. I want to keep your family in the fold. And I'm going to give you the Sabbath to remind you how much I love you. You know what? One Sabbath, we were having our Bible study time with the children. We lived in the mountains of North Carolina, and the sun would always sink over that mountain so fast. Over Bluff Mountain, the AT, the Appalachian Trail, ran across Bluff Mountain, and we looked at it over the valley. And as we were there looking out the big picture window, I could see the children looking out like this. And finally, Anthony said, oh no, the Sabbath's almost over. I said, praise God. Praise God. My children didn't want to see the Sabbath end. That was God answering my prayer. God working with me and my wife to establish sanctified living in our home. Point number two. The Sabbath not only reminds us where God rescued us from, the Sabbath reminds us who we belong to. Look at Exodus chapter 31. Exodus chapter 31. Notice what it says. Exodus 31, verse 15 through 17. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh it's a Sabbath of rest, holy to the what? To the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. You might say, now that is so strong. Why did the Lord say, if you violate the Sabbath, you will be put to death? Why did the Lord do that? The Lord had to get our attention. I mean, would it get your attention if the Lord said that to you? And friends, does the same word apply to us today? If we violate the Sabbath, will we be put to death? Yes! Not by stoning, by fire. The Sabbath is still that important. Why? It's not an arbitrary act of God. Let me explain that to you. Why will someone who violates the Sabbath be put to death? Friends, because it's very simple. Listen to me now. If we are honoring the Sabbath as God intended us to honor it, if it is a sign that He is sanctifying me, that His power is working in me, that He is changing me day to day, I will continue to live for Him and I will be saved. But if I don't understand the importance of the Sabbath, if I begin to do my own will on the Sabbath day, I begin to lose the sense of God's ownership in my life, I begin to retreat toward Egypt, and I will die. It's that simple. It's not an arbitrary act of God. God is telling us a natural principle. Them that honor me will I honor. What did Ellen White tell us? If the whole world kept Sabbath, there would be no crime. There would be no thievery. There would be no atheist. Why? Because they would understand what the Sabbath means. It's a sign. It's a beautiful relationship sign that God is working in my life to change me. Notice, in verse 17, it is a sign between me and the children of Israel for how long? Forever! For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day He rested and was refreshed. You see, the Sabbath reminds me that I belong to who? To God. Now, listen to this. Listen to this now. Because I belong to God, His day belongs to me, and I will do what God says to reverence and keep it holy. It's Isaiah chapter 58, verse 13. What does it say? If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a what? Oh, have we missed the boat? I don't want any of you young people to raise your hand in this room, but I would be willing to say that if you went to 9 out of 10, maybe not that much, hopefully not that much, but a large majority of these young people, if you ask them, what do you think about the Sabbath? They say, boring, drudgery, rules. You know why? Because we, as their guardians, have not understood what the Sabbath means. We have not understood the joy of the Sabbath. We have not understood, listen to me now, we have not understood that if God owns the day and if I belong to God, my activities, He tells me what to do. My words, He tells me what to say. My thoughts, He helps me think the right thoughts. Everything I do belongs to God on the Sabbath. That's why I don't go snow skiing on the Sabbath. Because it's very hard for me to keep my mind in a worshipful spirit of the Sabbath day when I'm skiing down the slopes having a wonderful time. But I will go out on a wonderful walk on the Sabbath and look at the beauties of nature and teach my children things that they need to see. You see, the Sabbath cannot become a legalistic exchange. The Sabbath must become a celebration of a heart filled with love for all that God has done for us. And it takes planning, friends. You can't sit down on Friday night and look at your wife and say, what are we going to do tomorrow? It's over. It is over. You need to sit down on Sunday, on Saturday night when the sun goes down. You need to start saying, what are we going to do next week? What can we do next week to challenge the children? What can we do next week to give them a wonderful Sabbath experience? Because you see, you know when you teach someone to enjoy the Sabbath? When they're 2 months old. When they're 2 months old. And you have we had special Sabbath books for our children they could only look at on Sabbath. And they would come to Vicki and say, Mama, can we look at that book? She said, oh, no, honey, it's not Sabbath yet. Oh, please, Mama. No, honey, it's not Sabbath yet. What are we doing? We're getting to look forward to the Sabbath. Plan these things. Make it a part of your life. Friends, we should live for the Sabbath or we'll never die for it. We got to live for the Sabbath or we'll never die for it. And it pains me to see how our Sabbath keeping has declined among us as a people. Talk about whatever we want to talk about. Talk about our vacation. Talk about our new car. Talk about this. Talk about that. We don't speak our own words on the Sabbath. It pains me to see in some churches children having snowball fights outside on Sabbath. Friends, are they learning the specialness of this day? My wife and I have been in ministry for quite a number of years. And when we would go out and have meetings over the weekend, we had little ones we took with us. What do you do? I'll tell you what we did. We never did the meeting at the same time. If I was doing the Friday night meeting, my wife was at home with the children, putting them in bed, reading them their Bible stories, getting them ready. On Sabbath afternoon, on Sabbath morning when I was preaching, they were in church. On Sabbath afternoon, if my wife was doing the meeting, I was out with the children, giving them their Bible study, taking them for a walk. Did I have to deny myself? Absolutely! I wanted to be in listening to my wife. I wanted to be in fellowshipping with the adults. But friends, God had given me a job to do. God had given me my children to save. And I had to say, Lord, it's important enough to me to save these children, to deny myself and do what you have asked me to do. And God said, Dane, I can work with your children when you do that. I'll work the miracles to change their hearts. You spend the time with them. You show them you love them. You show them how important the Sabbath is. It reminds me where God rescued me from. It reminds me who I belong to. You see, the Sabbath is God's focus day. You've heard of focus groups? Sabbath is God's focus day. Where we get to spend, not have. Notice I didn't say we have to spend. To me, Sabbath is not a have to, it's a get to. I never told my children, we can't, you know, have you seen parents say this? Oh, honey, we can't do that on Sabbath. What's a kid going to start thinking? What should you say instead? Oh, sweetheart, God has given us so many wonderful things to do on Sabbath. We don't need to do that today. Oh, no, Mama, that's boring anyway. The children will mirror what you tell them. The children will mirror what you tell them. You're saying, Dane, I can't do this. No, you can't, but God can through you. Amen. And if you don't think God loves to answer prayers, start asking God. Here's a prayer God will always answer. You go home today and you say, God, help me learn to keep the Sabbath. You think God will answer that prayer? Amen. He will. I can guarantee it. Number three, we're almost done. The Sabbath reminds me what God's plan is for me. What's God's plan for me? Sanctification. Building me more into His image every day. That's Exodus 31, verses 13 to 17. It's also God wanting us to enter into the rest of His Sabbath. What is the rest? Why did God rest on the Sabbath? Think about this. Why did God rest on the Sabbath? Was God tired? I mean, does it tire you out when you speak? God said, let there be a tree. There it was. God said, I want a rock over there. There it was. God said, I think I want an antelope. There it was. Does that tire you out? So why did God rest? Was He tired? No. God did it. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. You see, God was showing me, Dane, you've tried to speak, listen to me, you've tried to speak your way to salvation, talk your way to your salvation, work your way to salvation all your life. It's time for you to cease from your work and enter into my rest. Let me work through you. Let me talk through you. Let me do the work, Dane. You just stop. Now, does that mean I just sit back and say, okay, Lord, get me to heaven? No. It means that now I let God call the shots. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but it's not I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life that I now live, I live by the faith. Notice it doesn't say in the Son of God. It says I live by the faith of the Son of God. You see, we need to stop asking God to give us more faith. We need to say, God, give me Jesus' faith. Give me the faith that Jesus had when He overcame. Give me the faith that Jesus had to keep Sabbath. Give me the faith that Jesus had to live His life. That's what we need. That's what the Sabbath is a sign of. God saying, Dane, stop trying to be saved. Stop trying. Start dying. Let me speak and it will be done. Let me command and it will stand fast. You know what? That took so much stress out of my life. Here's a little plug. Come this afternoon, you'll learn to take more stress out of your life. 4:00, Vespers time. You won't want to miss it. But dear friends, God wants to change your life today. Do you believe it? God wants each one of us to enter into the rest of His Sabbath, of ceasing from trying to be good enough. Young people, don't try to be good. You can't be good. Only God can be good through you. Amen. The whole plan of salvation is simple. What did I say? It's arguing with God until He wins. Let's go to the last point, then we'll close. Point number 4. Point number 1 was that Sabbath reminds me where God rescued me from. Point number 2, it reminds me who I belong to. Number 3, it reminds me that God has a plan for me. Number 4, it reminds me where God is taking me to. Look at Isaiah chapter 56. This is, Isaiah really could be put in the New Testament as one of the Gospels. Isaiah is called the gospel prophet. We could have Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Isaiah, very simply. So let's look at Isaiah chapter 56. This is an end time prophecy. Just happens just before Jesus comes. Notice what he says in verses 4 through 7. For thus saith the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths. This is not talking to Jews now. This is talking about pagans who come to God and choose the things that please me and take hold of my covenant. Even unto them will I give in mine house and within my walls a place and a name better than of the sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Also the sons of the stranger that join themselves to the Lord to serve Him and to love the name of the Lord, to be His servants. Every one that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and taketh hold of my covenant, even them will I bring to my holy mountain. Isn't that a wonderful promise? And what's it predicated on? Keeping the Sabbath day. Friends, it's not legalism. It is an experience with God. It is an experience with God, reminding us how much God loves us, where He's taking us to, what He wants to do in our lives. How Satan has snookered us into thinking that this is some type of legalistic transaction. You see, the Sabbath, listen now, the Sabbath is a day to train me how to live in heaven. Did you hear what I said? The Sabbath is a day to train me how to live in heaven. Now let me give you a thus saith Dane Griffin. I don't have any spirit of prophecy quote for this. I only have one thing from the Bible. The Bible says it's going to take us 7 days to get to heaven, right? Revelation chapter what? 8. Silence in heaven for the space of a half an hour. That's 7 days prophetic time. Ellen White tells us it'll take us 7 days to get to heaven. What is the final last great controversy on earth before Jesus comes? Read Revelation chapter 13 and 14. You'll see one word more than any other. It's the word worship. Worship. That's the final issue at the end of time. Who has your loyalty? Who is changing your life? Friends, is God waiting for the world to get more wicked? The world can't get much more wicked than it is. What's God waiting for to come? He's waiting for us to get more righteous. Satan's people obey him perfectly. Satan says, go get drunk. Oh, yeah, that's good. Go get drunk. Satan says, go have an affair. Sure, go have an affair. God says, change your lifestyle. What? What do you mean, Lord? It's legalism. Why do we argue with God? God says, when you obey me as well as Satan's people obey him, I'll come get you. The final issue at the end of time is over worship. Now listen, Saturday versus Sunday. Wouldn't it be just like God to do this? Ellen White says, at the darkest hour of Earth's history, they hear the voice announcing the day and hour of Christ's coming. Wouldn't it be wonderful? God comes and gets us on a Sabbath. God comes and gets us on a Sabbath. He says to the world, you don't think Sabbath's important? I'll show you how important it is. I'm going to deliver my people on Sabbath. Amen. Now we take 7 days to go to heaven. What's the first day in heaven? Sabbath. When was Adam and Eve's first full day on earth? Sabbath. And when we get up there, I think we're all going to just hang our head and say, Lord, we don't deserve to be here. When I see how the angels keep Sabbath, when we hear how the angels sing those songs, friends, there is no music on earth like the angels sing. We need a higher, holier view of the Sabbath. There may be somebody here today who is understanding for the first time that this is why God said, remember. God is saying, remember how you were delivered. God says, remember where you came from. God says, remember who you belong to. God says, remember what I want to do for you. God says, remember where I want to take you. There may be someone here today who has not really ever entered into the joy of the Sabbath, but who today wants to say, Lord, this is the day. This is the day that I want to make a commitment to you. Because you know what, friends? When we enter in to the joy of the Sabbath, when we understand that God owns us, everything else falls into line. Stewardship, it's a natural. Right living, it's a natural. Right dressing, it's a natural. Right entertainment, it's a natural. Why? Because now God is in control of our lives. Do you want to enter into that experience today? If there's just one person here this morning who wants to say, Lord, I want to make a new commitment to you to be a true 7-day Adventist, I want you to stand to your feet. But I want you to mean it with all your heart. I want you to mean it because God is calling you to do it. Don't just stand because everybody else is. There's no time to play church anymore, dear friends. Jesus is coming soon. The God of the Sabbath will come and claim His faithful children. And only those who have experienced the joy of the Sabbath, have let it change their lives, will hear His voice say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. Father in heaven, forgive us for how lightly we look at the Sabbath. Oh Lord, we put it as a day on the calendar, and it is a sign that God loves us, that God wants to change us. Lord, you see these precious ones standing. Lord, only you know what will work in their homes to make the Sabbath a joy, to make the Sabbath a delight, to take the nothingness in many homes and make it something in the power of God. Dear Jesus, I claim your promise today that God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness will shine into all these precious hearts to bring the light of the knowledge of God in the face of Jesus Christ, that Sabbath will become an experience, a joyful, wonderful experience where we are weekly acknowledging God's ownership, where we are weekly acknowledging we don't want to go back into our life of sin. We are weekly acknowledging we want to be with you forever. Lord Jesus, teach us to keep the Sabbath, to honor your day, to plan for this day all throughout the week. to make it such a wonderful day that our children will be sad when the Sabbath day ends. Oh, Father, help us. Give us your power. Give us your grace. Give us your glory. That we will be faithful to you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.